Blog Talk Radio.
You are now entering the BYGP locker room with your host, Coach Terrence Wood. Let's go.
I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP Locker Room Show, and we are really excited for tonight's show, you guys. We have a gentleman on the line that is cut from the same cloth as many of you guys. He's a former football player, but he's transitioned into a very unique lifestyle after football. And I am so excited to introduce Mr. Hubert Payne to the BYGP locker room. This is somebody that I've had the pleasure of meeting over the past month. Very dynamic speaker, somebody that is passionate about helping others, and truly, truly a gift to have him in the locker room tonight. So I think we already have him on the line with us. Hubert, can you hear us tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here.
Perfect, perfect. Well, hey, I know you have a very busy lifestyle with the family and the profession, and we'll get into that here shortly, but thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Man, Terrence, thank you for having me, man. I'm super passionate about this and what you're doing. So, man, it's an honor to share my story, man, and hopefully, you know, we can add some value tonight. It's good, man. Looking forward to it.
Oh, I know we definitely will. And let's get started for those that are looking forward to hearing from you. So for those that don't know you, Huber, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. I actually went to boarding school in the suburbs of Detroit, Orchard Lake St. Mary's Prep. And my college journey, I found myself transferring to a school in Tennessee, which we'll talk more about. But that's where I currently reside. But I've lived in Atlanta. I've lived in Los Angeles, chasing this music thing as an adult. But I'm currently back in Nashville. So, but started in Detroit.
Gotcha. And as far as football, who was the one that started planting that seed in your mind that, hey, you might need to pay attention to playing some football?
Yeah. Well, my dad was a huge football fan, and I was just blessed to have, you know, a very active father, and at a very young age, you know, I just wanted to either impress him or be him, and he was a musician, but he was really passionate about football, and he took a lot of time with me and my brothers and sold into us, and football family. I come from a football family. Both my brothers played college ball. I have cousins that played, one of my cousins played with you, my cousin Hannibal Navies. He
yes.
Told me to tell you, he was your OG. He told me to ask you about that. So,
yes, yeah, definitely. I think he's tuning in tonight, 'cause he texts me as well. So shouts out to Big Navies. And, I know that you come from a background of athletes, so, it's just very interesting that you ended up going into the music side of things, but we'll get into that here shortly. Far as really realizing that there might be a possibility for you to play college football, Huber, when did you start to realize that was a possibility?
Man, what's crazy is I never really looked at it like a possibility. When I started Little League football, I mean, before I even started Little League, I was obsessed with the game. And it became my identity. So college football was just the next step. It was a dream, but it was never – I really don't remember thinking anything else other than playing the game. You know, my community looked at me as a player. Like I said, my identity was I was a football player. So it was kind of just like the next step. I don't really remember ever thinking anything else. I was just all about the game, man. I was really, really into it, and that's what I saw myself doing. So I just
great point.
For me, it was just about doing whatever it took to get there. That was my thing when I was younger. So
now you decided to settle on Saginaw Valley for the university that you chose to go to out of high school. What advice, Hubert, would you give to young men that are listening tonight that are struggling maybe to choose a college to attend?
Okay. I'm really passionate about this, man. I'm going to try to take my time. So here's the deal. I went to Saginaw Valley State. At the time, one of the top five Division II schools in the country. I was offered a scholarship there to play ball. It was not my first choice. My father wanted me to go there, and I wanted to go to another school. But he felt like, you know, with all things considered, that would be the best place for me to go. Now, I wanted to play offense, and I was like, dude, I'm willing to go play Division II at this school to play offense, to run the ball, you know. And I remember, man, like when I committed over the phone, like the night before signing day, when I called in and I told that coach that I was going to be a Cardinal, dude, I went upstairs and cried, like pillow over my head like a baby, because it was like the first time in my life I went against my instincts. Now,
wow.
For all you guys listening, man, like, you have instincts because you guys have been sowing major seeds into developing your game and making major sacrifices. Not, you know, you got to give up some things to be great. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have done that. And when you do those things, you know in your gut what you want to do. So when I would say when you're picking a college, man, go somewhere where you're willing to submit to the vision of the team. And what I mean by that is, like, I went to Saginaw Valley, and when they moved my position to defense, I left, right? Now, I look at that, and when I look back, I think about this every day, man. It's like 15 years ago. But
wow.
When I look back, you know, I regret that decision because I didn't submit to the bigger vision of the team. I don't feel like a part of a team, so I missed that. I look at my best friends getting married on Facebook, and because I missed those relationships, and I'm like, dude, if I'd have stayed at that school, I probably would have been in his wedding. So I missed that, and they wind up winning like two rings when I left the next 2 years. And when it was all said and done, I looked back at my college career, and I had some fun, but I felt like I didn't maximize the opportunity that I had because I didn't submit. I didn't go in empty and be where I can be, like, filled up from the coaches or the situation. So when you're thinking about schools, man, just go with what you want to do because you're the one that's got to be there, you know. And nothing against my dad, and I thank God for his providence that my situation worked out great. But if I could go back, man, I would advise, like, you go with what your instincts tell you and what decision you're going to be able to deal with, you know, and make the best of it. So,
wow, that's amazing advice right there. And hopefully you young student athletes are listening to what Hubert is sharing with you. And my situation was similar. I chose the school that I wanted to go to, but there was a point in time where I wanted to leave. And my dad was like, no, we started it. You finished it. You're staying there. And kind of like your story, where we ended up winning a championship the year later, and I met my wife. So I was glad that I did stay still. But that's a great story that you shared with us. Now, obviously, every young man, Hubert, goes through that transition after football. It's the what am I going to do with my life, or what's the next move after football. We know where you are now, but can you talk to us a little bit about your transition once you decided to hang up the cleats? Was that easy for you or was that difficult?
Very difficult. The hardest thing, one of the hardest things I've had to overcome. Number one, you know, like I said, my vision, my identity was in the game, myself as a player. So when that's taken away and you know you're not going to put on the shoulder pads anymore, it's humbling. I felt lost. I was frustrated. I was angry because I didn't get to play, you know, at the highest level. And I actually went into a place where I was like, dude, I just wasted a bunch of energy, you know, all of those years, because no one cares about how fast you can run a 40 when you got to pay bills and you're not playing pro football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But for me, man, I had a life altering event happen where I was forced to sit down and evaluate my transition and who I was and what I've been through and my perception of things. And for me, man, I like to think about it like this, dude. I wrote this down a few weeks ago, and it was the most powerful thing as far as my breakthrough, man. Like, I just wrote down, like, you know, Hubert, I was writing to myself, you were not a great football player. You're not a good musician, you know. And what I mean by that is, you know, that's not my identity. When I was telling you I was thinking my identity was football when I was growing up, that's a trap.
Yeah.
That's a trap. So when that door is closed, a lot of us don't even take advantage of who we are, and we don't tap into our potential because we think that's who we are. So when I say I wasn't a good football player, I'm not a good musician even to this day, what I mean is what I'm good at is knowing how to work hard at something and figuring out this is what it takes to be great. In between the lines, this is what it takes to be great. And I'm going to put all of my energy into it, whatever it takes, and I'm going to get it done. And I'm going to meet that mark, and I'm going to execute when it's time to execute. And that could be with my relationship with my wife, with my kids, and my church, and my community. And when I began to think about myself from that perspective, a weight was lifted off. And I realized how powerful I was, man. I don't know if we're getting into it yet, man, but so I was saying, like, a life-altering thing happened to me when I was 27 years old, man, and I was actually hanging out in a club watching some friends play music, and the show ended, and it's a whole bunch of details in here, but I'm going to just cut to the chase because I want to get to a lot of stuff. But basically, man, a guy came off the street, and he threatened a bunch of me and my friends with a knife. Like a machete knife, like the biggest knife you've seen, man. Like,
wow.
I couldn't believe he pulled it out of his pants. But
wow.
He threatened us, man, and it almost felt like our energies attracted each other. And he came to me. And when he got to me, he put the knife on my head. And I just chose to go down fighting. And I felt like I could protect my friends. You know, I'm a football player. I'll be the one, you know. So I wound up grabbing his hand. I grabbed his arm. And thinking I was going to knock the knife from his hand, and I was unsuccessful, man. And we fought. I took maybe four of the biggest swings you can come up with, missed all four of them. we wrestled for a while, and he wounded me twice from that. So I was I wound up, man, stumbling outside, and the police were there on a traffic stop, like a block away. Thank God. So they kind of diffused the situation, but I mean, I was left with a stab wound in my leg, and he cut like the palm of my hand so deep that he severed a tendon. Now, as a drummer with a severed tendon in my left hand, you know, I wasn't able to make a living for a year because I had to get a special surgery to get it put back together. So, man, I was surviving as a musician at that point at 27. But I wasn't doing really well. I was, like, barely making it. But I lost everything, man. I had to move back to my parents' home, and I lived on my parents' couch for 7 months, man. I couldn't walk upstairs. I lost my drum set trying to pay for my car note. Then I lost the car. So it was like one of those situations where God set me down and just breathed on me, man. So when I sat down for those months and I thought about it like, Hubert, who are you? Where is your identity? You know? And then I started thinking like, okay, my identity is not in football anymore, but I sowed a lot of seeds and I learned some intangible things that if I can transfer those skills to whatever I want to do, I can be powerful. And those years of practice, the sprints, the lifting of weights, all that stuff is like, it's still going to be money in my bank. It's a book, man, called Outliers. And it talks about how it takes 10,000 hours to become a master at your craft. But the thing is, guys, when football is over, it's not like you're starting from zero to master something new, because you have learned how to grind. You've learned how to take criticism. You've learned how to compete. And so what I did was I just tried to use those hours from football and transfer them into music. Although I wasn't playing music the whole time, like, man, honestly, I didn't play with other musicians until I was 21 years old. But I had to catch up. But, man, because of my mindset and what I learned from football, I was off to the races. So, dude, when I came back, when I got healthy again, it was game on. And I was living in Nashville, and I literally went where there were the most drum sets. I didn't care who was black, who was white, and that's downtown. And in downtown Nashville, if anyone's ever been there, they're playing country music. And that's what they were playing. Now, me, I grew up playing, you know, listening to hip-hop, R&B, funk.
Yeah.
But I was so open. I was empty. Number one, because I had analyzed my Saginaw Valley situation and transferring and making all those decisions. I had analyzed it so much. I knew how to go wrong, in a sense. So I was like, I'm going to make this right, dude. I'm going to be open.
Wow.
If there's drums there, I'm going to play. I'm going to practice every day. I'm going to separate myself. I'm going to train like I'm playing football, you know? And I did that, man. I've had an extremely blessed career.
That's amazing. And I had heard that story before, but it's even more amazing the second time you hear it. And I know that many of our athletes and parents are really gravitating towards you right now, because you're just talking about perseverance, and you showed that through your injury and just through being willing to even go the country music route. You know, there's some symbolism behind not switching your position in college, but almost switching your genre in music. So I really enjoy that story. Now, as far as the grind to get to where you're at now, I know that you're traveling. You've been to country music awards. You've been on late night shows. So you're kind of enjoying some of the fruits of your work. But to get to where you are now in music, can you illustrate that grind for us? Is it similar to a young man that's trying to fight up the depth chart in football?
For me, I look at it exactly the same. I remember, dude, when I finished playing football, and I was trying to basically, you know, as a musician, a sideman, that's the name of the, you know, the generic name of my job, a sideman musician. Basically, dude, I just create a buzz, like word of mouth, a reputation of being a great player, right? So I study other drummers. I study music. I study anything that I think can make me better, just like watching film as an athlete. You know what I mean? So I take account of the market. And I remember when I was in high school, my freshman year, man, it was a guy named Kevon Barbie. I knew he was like one of the running backs that he was just bigger than me. He was like 3 inches taller, a little bit stronger, a little bit faster. And, dude, I analyzed him. And that summer before we came back, I thought about it. How can I close the gap? Every single day, I obsessed over it. And I just took that and applied it to music. So in my early 20s, like, Nashville is kind of the NFL for musicians, man. Like, people move here every day to play music and get touring gigs.
Gotcha.
But what I did was, man, I checked out the market. So I would go downtown, hang out, watch drummers, take mental notes, build relationships. And I just created a version of a guy in my head that's an exceptional drummer. And one night, man, I was hanging out in this club, and this guy came in and sat in. He was an older drummer, and he just blew me away. And I felt like, you know what? If anyone was in here and they needed a drummer, they would hire that guy. He has a wow factor. He's like if you're watching Barry Sanders run. You know, like you see that guy, you're like, that guy's an athlete. He's an exceptional player. And I wanted to close the gap. So, dude, I actually moved. I moved to L.A. for a year and went to music school. Like, I just picked up everything and just moved out there, slept on my uncle's couch for a year just to get knowledge. Because I believed if I chased the knowledge, like, my success would be a symptom, right? And I learned that straight from football. You know, when I look at my football career, it makes me angry only because I ran out of time. You know what I mean? Like, I was willing to do whatever it took to be great, but I ran out of time. But with music, the only difference is, which I love, it's a song, man. Like, it's a song that's probably going to be 3 minutes, 30 seconds. And I'm like, dude, if you're going to tell me this is where the song starts and this is where it ends and this is what you should play, and then you're going to put the preparation on me, I'm like, I'm going to do this all day. Like, with football, you know, you do fall camp, then you're doing summer workouts and morning workouts in the winter, and you're doing all those things, but sometimes circumstances don't work out. Like, you could be running an off-tackle play, and the defensive lineman in that particular game is just blowing up the tackle, and you can't get loose. But, you know, with music, you know what it's going to be. So, to me, I'm like, you're shooting fish in a barrel, man. Like, I can prepare as much as I want. Yeah, I can prepare like a football player, but had the same circumstance. When we get live, I'm going to kill this every day. So it's the same thing, man. Like, I have a cousin who played college ball, and I had a conversation with him. And I was like, dude, he's 30 years old now. I was like, man, have you ever looked forward to anything like a high school football game? Like, in your adult life, without hesitation, he said no. And I'm thinking, man, what a shame, because we got the inside track because we've been passionate about something and built these, like, amazing players, which I'm sure that are listening right now. Like, if you guys are chasing this dream, you know, you got something special because you sacrificed so much. But what I don't want you to miss is that those skills are transferable. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and you can transfer them to anything. I feel like I wake up and play football every day. Like, nice. And like I said, even with relationships, man, even in my marriage, like, even in my marriage, it's just like climbing up the depth chart. You got to prove yourself every day. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny because I call my cousin Hannibal all the time about marriage advice, and he's like, dude, it's something you got to work about. You got to work at it every day. You can't stop, and that's with anything that you're doing in life. And I just feel like it's a tragedy sometimes when we put that much weight on just the collegiate career, when you guys are building something so special and you have the opportunity to, like, carry that torch throughout your life and be financially successful, spiritually successful, even in your health, relationships. It's just so much there.
Well, and that brings me to a point, because that was well illustrated right there. And obviously, that's what we preach to our athletes. And for those that are just joining us, we're in the BYGP locker room. I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and we've been blessed with the presence of Mr. Hubert Payne. He is a big-time drummer in the country music industry, currently working right now with Little Big Town. And we have roughly about 5-10 minutes left here with Hubert. But I wanted to ask you, because you're talking about transferring that energy, transferring that passion into other outlets. Why do you think so many young football players either wait to find other passions or, in some cases, never find them at all?
Man, I like to call it displaced swag. It goes back to the identity thing I was talking about, man. because, man, it's easy to fall into the trap. So when you're young, you know, like I said, your community, you walk around the block, they're like, oh, that's this guy, so-and-so, he's going to the league, you know. And you get attention from your parents from playing football, and you're feeding your spirit football, you're watching football, you're playing Madden on the video game, you know, I don't know how many hours a day, and yeah, you're just feeding your spirit football. And it gets difficult, when that door is closed, because you fed your spirit football. Your friends played football. You don't. That's where you've been spending your time and sowing your seeds. But what my point is, that model, and it's hard to do, and this is why I think a lot of people fall off. Take that model. Like for me, I want to be a life coach, a consultant. I'm passionate about that. So what I did was, I'm like, dude, my friends are musicians. I can't start a consulting business with my friends being musicians. So I tried to connect with guys like you, other guys that like my cousin Hannibal, because my friends, you know, that's my future, number one. Number two, I'm like, I'm not playing video games anymore. Like, I got five children, four and one on the way. So for me, what am I sowing into my spirit? Coaching techniques now, you know what I mean? Or music. So being conscious and aware of like what's your, whether it's business, I don't, it might be something in the medical field, but like just take that model, be self-aware and realize, why were you passionate about the game? Because when you think about it, man, it's just a leather ball. But like, why are you really passionate about it? You know what I mean? Why does it make you tick? It's not the ball. It's everything surrounding the ball. It's the misplaced identity. You know what I mean? But when you realize, like, you're a great player because you got a great mind. You put two and two together well. You know how to develop yourself. You're self-aware. Like, all of those things are transferable, and I think a lot of people miss that because it's hard to kind of be laser-focused on something and then switch it up. You know what I mean? But
amazing. Amazing.
It's doable. It's doable.
No, this is great, great feedback, and I know that some of our young men are just having light bulbs go off right now in their head because, you know, a lot of them play football because they look at that as a window or a door of opportunity,
right.
And what you're doing is you're basically flipping that on its head and saying that that passion is the opportunity,
right.
that mind that you have, that willingness to network and be a team player is the opportunity. You're just using football to deliver the gift. But the gift is the passion. So I really love it. We've got a couple more questions for you. And once again, thank you so much for your time, Huber. So for a young man that might be 17, 18 years old, or maybe even a little older, maybe he's in college and he's 21, and he's dedicating so much of his life to the on-the-field prowess, what would you say as far as off-the-field skills are things that athletes really need to focus on?
Wow, so many. One thing I feel like is I want to address this. I feel like, there's a disconnect. It's really prolific to be able to focus all your energy into a collegiate football schedule. I mean, it's insane. I mean, school is an afterthought, just being honest. It has to be done, but it's an afterthought. Now, here's the thing. If you can do that, you're so much more powerful off the field because you can serve other people. And that's one thing that I didn't understand when I was younger. Like, serving other people with what you have is the most gratifying thing. It will give you the most peace. And when you're off the field, man, like you, it matters. It matters because it's not good enough to just score touchdowns, man. You can score touchdowns all day and come home to hell, and your life ain't gonna work. You know what I mean? And when so, what I try to do, man, like, and I'm thankful. I didn't just hang out with the people who looked like me or, you know what I mean, had my same interests. And I feel like that's blessed my life beyond measure after the game. So don't only sit with the guys that you, you know, you got common ground with in the lunchroom. Because, man, like, guys, I play country music for a living. It's not very many of us, but the door's not closed. But what I've noticed is, like, that culture of reaching across the aisle and seeing people as people and respecting people for what they do. You know what I mean? So, like, when you're off the field, have respect for other people's, you know, way of life and what they're doing and ask questions, man. So I would say asking questions, being approachable, looking to serve is huge off the field. It will give you so much. It will give you so much. But those things are really important, man. And I feel like if you're doing those things, you'll be on point. We won't need to worry about you in a classroom. We won't need to worry about you because here's another thing, like having sympathy for people, man, clean up a lot of bad behavior. You know what I mean? Even with, you know, females,
great
dealing
point.
With other people in the community. If someone, man, I got an uncle who did 11 years. He's my favorite uncle. I looked up to him because he's playing high school football when I was like 9, and he was a beast. But he did did like 11 years in prison, and I would visit him often. And thank God he was able to get out when I was in college and he caught a game. But one he made a total transformation while he was in, and then one day he was sharing with me one of his classes was totally based around a lot of people make bad decisions and end up in jail because their expectations for other people are too high. So when they get let down, you know what I mean, they just flip out, make a bad decision. But if we come back to sympathy and you create like a sympathy culture when you're dealing with people, even in the car, because you don't know what someone else is going through, you know what I mean? So when you're on campus, like you're looking to serve, you're sympathetic. Someone's going through something, you're there, even if it's there just to listen. You know what I mean? No, you'll build relationships and people will remember how you make them feel. Like, dude, I travel all around the country, and I mean, at least 2 to 3 people every show I play, like, they'll come to the show. I'll get them tickets to the show, and we'll hang out. And it feels like, you know, when we were in school, but it's because both ways we remember how we made each other feel. You know what I mean? Like, I had a coach tell me, coach came out and saw me in Chicago one night, and he was like, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I, you know, we spent time together. I don't really remember what players do. I just remember how they make me feel. That's it.
Wow.
So that's what it boils down to. But yeah.
Wow. I just keep saying wow, which is definitely not radio. That's why we call it the locker room, because we're just having a conversation in here. But, you know, this is groundbreaking for so many of our athletes because you're just giving them power. You're giving them power to let them know that it is not just the ball that they carry or that sack that they made. It's them. It's really them as the person. And then, you know, once they can equip themselves and armor themselves with some of these traits, like being passionate, like being sympathetic, like obsessing over something, then that magic that you make happen on Friday, Saturday night, you can make that magic happen in anything, is what you're telling us.
I want you guys to really receive that, man, because I feel so much power. Like if I just switched to whatever I wanted to do next because of what I've been through, I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to do it, you know? And you guys can do that too, so.
Let us get – do you mind if we take one question? It looks like we have a caller that's looking forward to speaking to you.
Yeah, man. I love to.
Okay, great. This is from the 210 area code, which I believe is San Antonio. And if it is, this might be Mr. Munoz. Hello, you're in the BYGP locker room with Coach Terrence Wood and Hubert Payne. Who are we speaking with? 210 area code. Can you hear us tonight? You're live.
I'm sorry. We had you unmute, Terrence. This is Ernest Munoz. You're correct. You had a good guess.
Well, the good ones call in and they get their questions answered, and you guys are a superstar family, so I wouldn't expect anything less.
Well, we appreciate that, Terrence. More than anything, really, we don't have any questions. We just want to give a shout out to you, Terrence, for your commitment to hosting these for these young men and parents also. Believe it or not, I think the parents are getting more out of this than the kids. I don't think it's registering in an 18 year old's mind. It hadn't registered yet. But I think the other thing that's great that you're doing, parents, is that you know, you're archiving it, so it's something that we can go back to and listen or pick up for, you know, especially for like my wife, where she's like, God, that kind of went over my head. I didn't get what he was talking about. Then I'll explain it to her, and she'll go back and listen to it again. Say, "Oh, okay." So,
nice.
You know, the fact that we've read your book, and that we listen in, I mean, we're in tune with everything you're about, Terrence. And you getting these great speakers and the relationships that you've built, I think that's a testimony on itself that you're also cultivating relationships, and you're out of the game. You're now here trying to help kids and. You know, for you to get, you know, professionals from all eras of life, I think that speaks volumes of your character and your relationships that you built.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And we appreciate your time and you always listening with the family. So we know that King is picking it up. And King, I don't know if he's listening now, but we're very excited about his future at UNLV, and we know that he is going to scrape
awesome.
The plate once he gets to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. So, hey, thank you guys for tuning in, Ernest, and we'll be talking to you.
Hey, Terrence, it's me, King James.
Oh, no problem, superstar, and thanks for tuning in tonight, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, so hey, that is King James, and he's playing out in Texas, going to go to UNLV next year, Hubert. So we've got a lot of kids
awesome,
that they're going
to
get some value out of what you're saying tonight, and really take advantage of that once they get to college. Hey, I want to leave you with this because we're going a little overtime, but I know that the parents and the kids are really getting a lot out of it. Let me leave you with this question. If with everything that you know now, if you could pull aside young Hubert Payne at age 17 or 18 and give him a little advice for the future, what would that advice be?
I would say, kid, the way that you're working, you're going to be all right. So stop worrying about it. I definitely was one of those guys that I worked hard. I mean, I tried not to ever lose a sprint. Last one in the gym, like every year that I played. And when I look back, I worried a lot. Spiritually, I didn't trust as much as I should have. Knowing that, like, you know, maybe God's vision is a little bit different, but it will be more gratifying than anything that I could think of. Like, man, I was literally, I just moved into a new home, and I was literally driving home tonight, and I was just thanking God out loud that this is my life, and I've married an amazing woman, and I have children, and I'm happy. So I would say, Hubert, you're going to be fine if you keep working like you are. So you guys out there, if you're not working as hard as you can and completely applying yourself, you're missing out. And that's the only thing you should be concerned with. Are you going as hard as you can? You know, are you all the way in? Are you fully committed? Because even when things go bad, when you're committed, you'll get amazing lessons that will catapult you in the rest of your life. So,
man, we went over tonight, but we had to because the content was so good, the spirit of the gentleman on the line was so good, and just the education I know you guys were soaking in tonight was right on point. So, Hubert, amazing job tonight, and we thank you tremendously for offering us some of your time.
Man, thanks for having me, Terrence, man. I'm so excited about our relationship, man, and what you're doing. It's inspiring, man. You got me on fire, buddy, so thank you.
Well, no, man, with that story that you just told, we got to get that baby out. That's why we wanted to have you on, and we'll break this video, or excuse me, this audio down and share it in little pieces and put it in the newsletter and everything, because this is too good. So thank you once again, and keep kicking butt on stage with Little Big Town.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
All right, so there you guys have it. That is Mr. Hubert Payne, cousin of Hannibal Navy's, former teammate of mine. But he is doing big things, you guys, in the country music world. Really, sky's the limit. He can take it wherever he wants to. Right now, touring with Little Big Town, an amazing group that is at the top of the country music charts. So we were thrilled, you guys, to hear from Mr. Hubert Payne and some of the things that he talked about that really stuck out to me was you've got to give up something to be great. You've got to give up something to be great. And if you're looking to serve and if you have sympathy for others, you will always make people feel good. And when you make people feel good, that's when the doors of opportunity open up. And if you're on a college campus, if you're on an NFL team, you're around high-level people that you're making feel good. So that means you're going to have high-level opportunities, you guys. So I really hope that sunk in with a lot of you guys tonight. So once again, I am Coach Terrence Wood, and I am signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. We hope that you guys have a wonderful evening, and please check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com. We have tons of content there, and we have the archives from some of our old locker room shows. At the bottom of the homepage, just click on the little microphone, and you can listen to tons of content from football players, from coaches, from business professionals, entertainers that want to help you along your journey. So once again, I'm Coach Terrence Wood, and we will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.